All right, we are going to wrap up our post-race media availabilities for today's AAA Texas 500 at Texas Motor Speedway. We are joined by members of our race-winning team, which is the number 4 Mobil 1 Ford. We have the driver, Kevin Harvick, and the crew chief, Rodney Childers. We will open up to questions for our race winners, and we're going to start up in the press box.
A question for Kevin. First of all, congratulations, Wolfgang Monzer, Rennsport Press Agency from Germany. You dominated the majority of the race, and it looked relatively, for me, sorry to use this word, relatively easy, how you were chasing through the field like a hot knife through butter. Nevertheless, was there a scary moment when shortly before the end of the race, the last caution came out, and you were a little bit under panic, maybe to lose the race?
Well, I mean, you never want to lose those types of days. Obviously, Blaney had a good restart, and we were able to get back by him. And at that particular point, I was like, we're not taking the bottom anymore. We're going to take the top and see what happens. And obviously, it worked out a little bit better, having the offense there of being on the outside and the side draft, after you get past the start-finish line. And, it's nice to see the second groove was rubbered up as much as it was, and so it's wound up making a pass on the top there. So, for whatever reason, we've run well on the old style racetrack and the new style racetrack, since I've been at Stewart Haas Racing. But for whatever reason, since they've repaved the place, I mean, it's just been lights out for us. I feel like we could have won every race here with the new pavement. So it's been interesting to see how it's changed and how much it's kind of come around to the things that we do with our cars, and today was one of those days that just was there with the speed, but everybody executed well, whether it was on pit road or the pit box or late there with the restarts, and made it happen. So it's a good time of year to have all that come around.
We're gonna come over here to the left to Mark, and then we'll go to Bob.
I'm just looking for
Mark. Oh, now we really got it. Mark Garrell, PRN. Question for both of you. Same question. You guys have been great all year long, speed at just about every type of racetrack. How does it feel for both of you to make it pay off with a spot at Homestead and a chance to win the championship?
Well, I mean, really, that's what you race for, to try to get yourself in position to get into the playoffs and then position yourself to have a chance to get to Homestead. So it's not easy, this time of year, just because of the fact that, there's everybody's throwing everything that they have at it, and all the notes and all the things that you've done all year are compiled into the cars that you have on the racetrack, and it's tough to win races at this point in the year, and so to get to victory lane, and that's our goal. I mean, that's how you control your destiny the most is to get to victory lane instead of counting your fingers and toes, trying to figure out what you need to do. It's guaranteed if you go to victory lane and you're still in it. So, these guys have been in these types of positions before when we haven't had points and put themselves we've put ourselves in scenarios to where we've had our backs against the wall and had to prepare at a high level, and that's really what we've done all year. And so when you do that day after day after day, and that preparation takes another step, it's a pretty refined step of details that goes along with it. So it's fun to see a whole day come together. We've had a lot of really fast cars in the playoffs here. It's just the days haven't come together, and sometimes you go through phases like that, and luckily we've scored a lot of stage points and kept ourselves in the game, and that's what you got to do. Just hang around, survive in advance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he covered most of it there. I mean, it's just nice to see the hard work pay off. You see everybody working so hard at the shop and the engine shop, and I feel like all year long there's been those goals there of winning races and making it to Homestead, and it's just nice to see that execution of all the hard work paying off, not only for the four team, but to see the other three cars up there running good too. That says a lot about our company and everything we have going on.
We'll go to Bob and then up to the press box.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. Kevin, if You were not able to catch Ryan after he passed
There's
you on
no
the...
There's no ifs, Bob.
Well...
Facts are facts.
Well, the facts are is that was damn hard to pass, it looked like, out mm-hmm. there. And if you... So my question is, were you concerned that as hard as it was to pass that you wouldn't catch him and this race just turned into a total track position race, and what does that say?
I look at the facts and we were able to work our way through the field today and a lot of tire strategy and a lot of things happened today that turned into a track position style race, but in the end four tires were faster than two tires. It took a little bit to pass. Our money spot was in the middle of one and two and he hit the apron down there and we didn't. And we were able to get by based upon practice. You know, his car was really fast for the first five laps, and he could make really good lap time. And then it was just about keeping the pressure on him to try to keep him from, hitting his marks. And he wound up, missing his marks. And luckily, that was a lap that I hit mine. So, you know, it's, repaves are difficult. I think they've put in as much effort here as anywhere that we've gone, and 2 years in a row we've won a race on the high side. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just have to give it time, and it's a really fast racetrack that they came and changed the tires from the first race, so we kind of fixed that problem. From the tires blowing out and everything that we had happen in the spring race. So. You know, it's just a scenario where you have to deal with the circumstances that you're dealt. And today we had a fast car and our car turned well all weekend and we were able to make passes. And I feel like we've been able to do that really in all three repave races here. I feel like we could have won every one of them. We didn't win the spring race here and we made a lot of mistakes on that particular day. And today we didn't.
We're going to go to Jim in the press box and then Jessica and Jerry.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Kevin, you mentioned after the race about 5 years of winning cars at Stuart Haas Racing along those lines. This will be the fourth time in five seasons that you'll have the opportunity to compete for the championship. When you made the change to join the organization, could you have ever envisioned having this sort of opportunity? And what does it say for the organization that you've been able to have that opportunity virtually every year you've been there?
Well, here's my reality check. Jimmy Johnson hasn't won a race this year and isn't king of the mountain. So, you know, when that type of stuff happens and you see scenarios like that, you have to be real with yourself to say, you know, these are scenarios that you better enjoy because they probably won't last forever. And right now, you know, we've been fortunate to have been in this position for the last 5 years and we've capitalized on a lot of race wins, a championship, and put ourselves in position to win a few other championships, and it just didn't all work out. So, you know, you need to capitalize on every moment, on every fast car, on every chance you have to win a championship, because at some point there's going to be some tougher times in there. And I think, you know, for our organization, it's rather unique because since I started. We've been through a few drivers. We've been through a few crew chiefs on the other cars, and I think you know our team has been kind of that rock that sets the foundation at Stuart Haas Racing. And I think as you've seen the change to Ford, which everybody thought we were crazy, I think you know the bottom line is we've got more resources and more things that we can keep within our own walls. And I don't believe we've reached the potential of where we can be. But I think you see the progress of things that have happened when you see how all four cars are running, and that's not easy to do, and that says a lot about the company, a lot about the people that put these cars together on a week-to-week basis, because it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of detail and a lot of people and a lot of money to do that, and they're doing it with multiple teams as you see those four teams in the final eight here. So That to me is pretty telling as to where we are as a company, and hopefully we can keep progressing forward and keep all the things that we're doing within our own walls and not have to share it with anybody else.
Before we continue, I just want to check. Does anybody have another question for Rodney before we go back to Kevin? We'll go here to Dustin.
Dustin Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Rodney, beginning of the race, the 48 had to go to the rear because NASCAR stated it had incorrectly informed the team of that because NASCAR made the incorrection that the 48 had failed three times inspection. Instead, they'd only failed twice. And what I wanted to ask you is, Chad kind of talked about, he said it's become more and more difficult to have kind of a lines of communication with the tower when, as a team, you have a question or dispute of an infraction. You've been in this long enough. How have you seen that progress, and is there a way to have a better lines of communication to where there's a question, a dispute, that something can be resolved in a quick fashion, potentially?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what happened or their situation. I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like things are really good right now, and the communication that we have with all those people seems to be pretty open, and I don't know really how that could have happened. Like I said, I don't know the situation or anything like that, and I would hate to speak about it, but. Overall, I think the communication is really good right now.
We'll go to Jessica.
Jessica Ruffin with NASCAR.com. For both of you guys, we saw a lot of playoff drivers and teams just having all kinds of mistakes and loose wheels and things like that plaguing them throughout the night. Some of the wheels turned out to be actual loose wheels, and some of them just turned out to be some sort of vibration or something else going on. Why do you think we saw so much of that today, and how difficult is it to tell an actual loose wheel apart from just something else?
Yeah, you know, that's difficult because, you know, a lot of times, in this weekend especially, the, you know, one set to the next, the tires, one set of tires would run perfectly fine and smooth. The next set you'd put on and they would vibrate like crazy, and we experienced that all weekend. So. You know, we experienced that at Talladega. To me, that's a Goodyear problem. You know, it's not something that every team just magically has loose wheels and has things go wrong. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, there's some issues that come with the tires, in my opinion.
We're going to go to Jeff to wrap it up with Rodney so we can get him back to the car.
Jeff Gluck from JeffGluck.com. Rodney, at this point, I mean, I just don't – who's going to beat you guys aside from yourself? From yourselves. I mean, it's like there was the big three for so long, and technically they're still there, but you guys are speed-wise ahead of the Toyotas at this point. I mean, do you view it as like you guys, if you go out and execute at Homestead, you're going to take it?
Yeah, I mean, Homestead is a little bit different of a racetrack. You know, the setups that you run at Homestead aren't like coming here to Texas or Kansas. You know, you can't just apply the same thing that you run over and over and over all year. So, there's changes there that sometimes some guys hit on it and sometimes they don't. I feel like, you know, as a team, we've been really strong down there. I felt like last year going into Homestead, we didn't have the cars to run for a championship, and we almost ran with them. So, you know, overall, I think we have good cars right now. Everybody's done a great job, and it's just going to come down to executing and, you know, doing the best we can on pit road. And I think, you know, Kevin hit that on the head. It's like those guys did a great job today. That's something that we've had a lot of adversity through with some things, and those guys have worked really, really hard to get better, and it was nice to see that today.
All right, Rodney, congratulations. Thanks for joining us. Good luck in Miami.
Thank you.
We'll get back to questions for Kevin. We're going to go up here to Jerry Fraley, then to Janine, and then Jerry Jordan.
Jerry Fraley. I'm sorry. Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News. Kevin, does this allow you now, starting tomorrow, to focus on Homestead? And if so, could that be an advantage when you get there?
I feel like that would be letting everybody down. They've already put a lot of effort into Phoenix and everything that they want to do there. And that car was, those two cars are prepared just like every other week. And so, you know, showing up and kind of giving a lackluster performance at Phoenix would probably not be fair to the guys that have put so much time and effort into putting those cars together and on the racetrack. So, you know, our goal is to go there and try to win the race and hopefully, you know, we can do that. And if not, then we'll load it up and go to Homestead and see what we can do there.
All We'll go to Janine.
Janine Clad with Skirts and Scuffs. I heard somebody on the radio describing the track as being sort of like a short track, the way it's running right now, just on a big track, with the way that the line is, and you get a single groove at some point, and you kind of got to move somebody out of the way. How would you assess it?
I don't know that I would assess it like a short track. Going through 3 and 4, when you lift barely out of the throttle and put it right back on the floor, I've never been to a short track that's like that. But, you know, it's very line sensitive, you know, as far as that goes. And I feel like there's a few small characteristics to it that are very, really almost similar to some of the characteristics that it used to take to run the bottom here in the past with the old style racetrack. But, you know, really the key to running fast here is getting through the middle of 1 and 2 and being able to consistently keep your car turning through 1 and 2. I feel like everybody can kind of manage their way through 3 and 4. But if you're going to win the race, you need to be able to, you know, turn through the center of the corner in 1 and 2 lap after lap.
We'll go to Jerry Jordan.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net, PRN. You won your championship, you went to Phoenix and then, you know, won there and did a walk-off. But when we talked a couple weeks ago, you called your shot for this track. What was it about Texas that you thought you could, this would be your better shot than to win at Phoenix? And do you go into Phoenix with
I think as a group, we just felt like that this racetrack has been, since the repave, has just been really, really lights out for us. And just felt comfortable about where the speed of the cars were on a mile and a half racetracks, and coming here, you know, just felt like in the spring we did what we did today, but we got behind, we got a lap down, we, you know, made some mistakes, and, you know, had all kinds of problems on pit road and you know, battled back and still almost won the race. So, you know, we've been able to figure out how to pass, we've been able to figure out how to keep our car turning, and it just, for whatever reason, just, you know, feel really good about, you know, the things that happen for us at this particular track since they've redone it.
You swing for the fences next
week now? We swing for the fence every week. That's the only way you can control anything is to win. So, you know, it's you know, when everything's going like it is, if you come in just thinking that you're, and especially this time of year, if you don't think that you're going to that race to win, somebody else is going to beat you, because, you know, that's what it takes. And when you go to Homestead, you know, you're going to have to win the race most likely. I mean, every year the champions won a race. So you have to have a winning mentality to approach the week.
I'm going to stay over here to the right and then go to Dominic and Bob.
Don Hall, TrackSmack Radio. Kevin, we watched you walking up for driver intros, and there was a group of kids, young kids, right on the way. You stopped, took time, signed autographs with them, even kind of talked to them just for, you know, a minute or two, and the faces just lit up on them. And then your post-race celebration, of course, with the young man and giving him the flag. Is it something now, maybe as a father, are you appreciating and
Absolutely.
Looking at things differently as far as, you know, these young fans and what even just saying hi to a young kid, what it can do for someone that, you know, maybe it's their first time to a racetrack or something?
Well, you know, I think that the impact that you have on people, you sometimes forget, and all the things that you do. I like kids. I'm not necessarily thrilled about, you know, all the adults cramming their stuff in there over the top of a kid's head. And I like to go out of my way to, you know, to try to talk to the kids. And it's like the group of kids that you're talking about, the first kid that I signed an autograph for, you know, it was yes sir, no sir, and I told him, I said, now if you do anything in life, just try to have manners, because most people, especially around here, that aren't the kids, don't have manners, and that to me, you know, is something that, you know, if you can help the parents reinforce something that they're doing at home, and the mom patted him on the back and said, see, I told you those manners would pay off for you. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, it's you know, afterwards that kid that we took a selfie with, he was kind of getting shoved around in the scrum up there in the grandstands, and he had his phone hanging out, and I, you know, had the security guard grab him, and he grabbed him, and I picked him up over the fence, and you know, so that's a moment that kid will never forget, and he went off with the checkered flag and a selfie on the racetrack. So I thought about taking him to Victory Lane, and I'm like, you know what, I don't know that his parents will know where he's at. That probably won't be the right thing to do, so I didn't put him in the car, but, you know, sometimes you know, you take some grief, and we actually had this conversation 2 weeks ago on radio show. A fan called in, and he was at a football game, and he said, "Man, those guys never stopped to sign autographs for nobody." I'm like, "Look, man," I said, "it's impossible. We're at work. We're trying to go from point A to point B. You know, I try to go out of my way for the kids. You know, and then you know, you do the best that you can walking from where you're going to the things that you're doing." I think I did 7 appearances this morning before the race started, and you know, there's some people that, you know, that are mad as you're getting in your golf cart trying to go to the next one. You got 5 minutes to get to, and I think sometimes people just don't understand that you have a lot going on, and we do the best that we can. But there's no sport that's more open than this one. You know, there's no sport that has more access. There's no sport that has a more charitable feel. I shouldn't say feel. There's no sport that does more for charities and supports each other and supports causes. And you know, you look at the Speedway Children's Charities. Every community that these racetracks from SMI that these racetracks sit in, they're making a multi-million-dollar impact on these charities as you go from race to race. And you look at the drivers' charities and the things that we do off the racetrack. There's none of them that even come close. And then you look at the fan access and the things that you do. So I like kids. And you know, if it was, you know, it's just something that I would rather do that than sign, you know, 30 sweaty guys autograph. I'm sorry, sweaty guys, but I'd rather sign the autographs for the kids. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. It's just weird when you're, you know, I understand that I have a lot of fans that are all ages, but I have more fun signing the kids' autographs, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But you know, it's just more fun because it just feels more genuine. And that kid is, you know, he's looking right through your eyes and thinking, I don't even know what to say, because you know, sometimes, you know, I had idols and heroes when I grew up, and if you can actually speak to them and have a moment, and then next thing you know, that kid's going to remember that. He's going to, when he's 40 years old, he's going to grab a kid and put his arm around him and take a selfie with him or whatever they're doing in 40 years. And you know, those are the types of scenarios that you want to have an impact so that it has another impact somewhere down the line because of that type of scenario. As you can tell, I like that stuff.
All right, we'll go to Dominic and then Bob.
Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts. So just this year, 8 wins. You've passed now Bobby Isaac, Tim Flock, Mark Martin, and Bill Elliott on the all-time wins list. So just like to get your thoughts on passing all those guys.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously, you know, I think it's not something that I really ever thought I would do. I don't look at that list very often because I'm scared to look at it because it might stop. I'm kind of weird about that stuff, but you know, I know Bill was the last one that we were tied with, and you know, to know what Bill has done and meant to this sport, and hopefully you can leave some sort of impact on the sport that some of those guys have left, and feel like things are going well, and I'm enjoying you know, the things that are happening, but you know, I like being around my team. I like being around my guys and you know, just being a part of the sport. You know, there's a lot of people that have come and gone in the sport, and hopefully there'll be a few people that remember you, you know, 10 years down the road.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob, you got another question?
Yeah, I do. Bob Packer, ESPN. Comparing the team roster now compared to Daytona, there seems to be about 4 or 5 different changes, a couple guys on the road crew, a couple guys on the pit crew. I'm just curious where you see team chemistry right now and how much team chemistry do you need at Homestead?
You know, it's there's a lot of scenarios that you guys have no idea about. You know, with some of those roster changes, I think there's only one that was actually a change. You know, there's been some scenarios and issues and things that have happened with some of those guys personally that we've had to find some, you know, some guys to fill in temporarily. So some of it inspiring and you know, you want to go and do the things that it takes to you know, to fulfill those situations of choices that some of those guys made that didn't make, that changed their lives in directions that they didn't want to go. So there's really only one change that was made. The rest of them are kind of filling in for scenarios of life.
Come over here to Mark, to the left.
Mark Garrow, PRN. Just sort of following up on the win list as you keep climbing up through that and how you look at it but don't look at it kind of thing. At this point, you have had a Hall of Fame career. Do you let yourself think
about
that?
Let's wrap it up. That's it.
Didn't
I quit.
You had to end it. I'm just saying that to this point, I mean.
Call it into it.
But do you dare let yourself think about that? I mean, the numbers don't lie. They're there.
No. Look, I'm very fortunate of you know where I'm at in my career and the things that we've been able to accomplish and you know I think as I'm kind of a late bloomer to the game, I guess you could say. I don't even know how many races have we won. No, not this year, Bob. Take your headphones off and pay attention. 45. Okay, so we're one away from winning as many races in 5 years as we won in 13. So, you know, like I say, I feel like I'm a little bit of a late bloomer of accumulating some of those wins and you know, enjoying. I feel like I'm enjoying it more just because I appreciate how long it took to get to the other half and knowing all the things that you went through to get to that particular point. So, it's a little bit different for me because I feel like it's not a scenario where I came in and filled in for somebody. This was a scenario that was built around myself coming to Stuart Haas, and then, you know, we made that decision as a group with, you know, Tony and the executives, and then it was, okay, who do you want to be your crew chief? And then we went and handpicked Rodney, and, you know, you've had a lot of people that have been, they came to the four car because they wanted to be on the four car, and we built the four car from the ground up. You know, we didn't have a truck, we didn't have a trailer, we didn't have a toolbox, a car, a nut, a bolt, anything. And so when you can have that connection to something, it's you know, for me, I love winning races and that's great. But I like seeing those guys happy and, you know, excited. You know, when we pull into victory lane, it's more fun for me to see them slinging beer and having a good time because I know how much time and effort and sacrifice that they put in to make those cars go fast. And there's a connection there and a chemistry there that is not normal. It's not your everyday chemistry with a group of guys. It's a special group of people, you know, that really don't want to let the other down. You know, I don't want to show up unprepared because I know all of them are prepared. And when you have that from top to bottom and everybody's got each other's back on a bad day or a good day, you know, that's the type of thing that is really, really enjoyable to me because, you know, at that point you're doing things together that you know, not everybody gets to experience and you're enjoying them. You're actually enjoying them. You know, there's a lot of moments that you go through in you know, in my career and in life in general, you guys go through the same thing. You go through down times and you're just like, man, this sucks. Don't want to do this. No matter how successful it is on the racetrack or off the racetrack, you just go through funks and you know, when you're around a group of people like that, it has a way of just re-motivating you and re-energizing you and, you know, I go through it, they go through it, and it, you know, it just has a special chemistry that is fun to be a part of.
Do we have any final questions for a race winner? All right, Kevin, congrats. Good luck in Miami.
Thank you, guys.